thank you for coming. My name is James Simpson, and I work at Rock Solid Refuge. That is a center for teenage boys from 13 to 18 struggling with life controlling issues. However, we are hoping to start up a girls program. So what we deal with, here's my email. If you want to email any other questions that you might have or anything like that. So my job today is to give you resources and walk you through this tough discussion. So let's just get rolling. So depression, many people kind of wonder what is depression. And maybe you're here because you are curious, you might need help, or you have a friend who might need help. So those are generally the three reasons of why people come to something like this. As you know, which all of us knows, the world knows, we just came out of a pandemic, and that's tough. That's hard, because it seems like the whole entire world was shut down. And where do you go for help? Who can help you? We live in the middle of nowhere, so in some cases it didn't necessarily affect us, but in some cases it it did. We had a local high school in town, and a whole bunch of stuff was, whole bunch of things were shut down. So the question is, where do you guys go for help? Because everything was on Zoom, and it's difficult to talk to someone who's on the other side who you don't know. So depression, what is it? Everyone feels down in the dumps, bummed out, or sad at times. Being in a bad mood for a few days is natural. Gloomy, unhappy feelings are part of life, and they usually pass. So that's the first time. Sometimes life is hard. Sometimes it sucks. Sometimes you get up in the morning and you just don't want to get up. I'm not a morning person, so it's tough. I'm normally a night person, so that's where I get most of my energy. Sometimes I get up in the morning and go, it's Monday. I mean, I don't know if you guys feel like that sometimes. Let's be honest. I like Fridays. Because Friday means weekends and stuff like that. Come in, come sit down. Thanks, everyone. Yeah, so we all have days where we feel blue, and that's okay. That happens. But sometimes the mood hangs on, affecting your emotions, body, thoughts, and behavior. Maybe you're unable to get out of bed, and face the day you feel like you're falling into a deep dark hole with no way to climb out. Experts call this the mental state of depression. So there's a difference about feeling like eh, and there's another, then there's the opposite side of feeling like all the time. I'm sure I could come up with a better explanation, but that seems to, that seems to work. I do have an MA in counseling, just so you know. I try, but that just seems to work for me. I also work with people who have like a whole bunch of ADHD, so my counseling sessions are very interesting. I have Lego, I have Star Realms, I have all kinds of different things, fidget spinners, actually keep everyone busy, and plus I have ADHD, so it kind of helps me keep on track. So what does before we get into this, if you guys have any questions, stop me, say, hey James, can I ask you a question? It's not a problem. I do have material, but it's okay. I'd rather have a conversation than, let me just go through and teach a whole bunch of stuff, and then you guys are like, wow, that was fast. And please ask me a question and stop me. So I'm going to ask you some questions because I like participation. So when it comes to depression, what do you guys think it does? What does it do to you? Yes.
It might disconnect you from relationships.
Disconnect you from relationships? Yeah.
It affects the rest of your day.
Affects the rest of your day? Yeah. Yes.
Sometimes feels that you can't do anything.
Sometimes feels that you can't do anything. Yeah. keep going. Anything more? Because I want to learn from you guys. So. Okay. Yes. Shuts you down. Yeah. Great. Awesome. Yeah, go ahead.
Sometimes it also kind of, I mean, this might be a strange thing it does, but sometimes it almost makes time feel like it goes really fast, because I'll wake up in the morning and I'll be like, oh, I didn't do anything today, and then all of a sudden it's supper time, I don't even know what I did for the whole day.
Yes, sort of like your haze and things like that. So, here's a guy, Jeff Yalden. He's an individual from the States, and he speaks to all youth groups and schools and things and on this issue. And this is what he says. What does he do? It completely distorts your thinking, creates feelings of failure and disappointment, where everything is negative and sad. It's like walking through sludge, slowing you down and causing you not to want to move forward. So one of the key things here is can you go back? Key thing is this word sad. Seems that everything is just sad. And it lingers and it doesn't let go of you. So how I describe this is that depression is like chains which are wrapped around you. And it seems that, you know, as you go on through the day, it just keeps harder, it just seems harder and harder just to move forward. Depression can be debilitating. It can also cloud your judgment and impair your ability to see solutions to what are likely temporary problems. So yeah, I mean, it's as you said, it's like walking through sludge. Have any of you ever been in a mud pit? Anyone been in camp? So if you've been in camp, they generally have this mud pit, and you get in there, or you get thrown in there, depending on who your friends are at that moment. And so you're in there, and it's, at first it's like, oh, this feels awful, and then you know what, and then you're trying to walk in it. So think of depression like that. It seems that you can't move. So I said, what does it do? I mean, you guys as well. It distorts thinking, creates feelings of failure, creates negative, sad thoughts, debilitating, paralytic, causes impairment in everyday life. Affects judgment, affects the here and now, affects the situation, basically affects everything. Your whole entire day, maybe even your whole entire week. So you guys know what it is. You guys understand what it is. I've been a youth pastor, so I had lots of youth who would come and talk to me about this. And they're like, you know, how can I make it through the day? How can things be better? And sometimes it's incredibly hard. It is. Because who do you go to? Do you guys have a school counselor? Like, you mean a school and things like that? I mean, do you have youth pastor, youth sponsor, you know, youth leaders? So I get it. It's tough to walk through some things. And the hardest thing is to kind of figure out, like, how do I move? How do I get out? So what are the symptoms of depression? Hopeless outlook, loss of interest, activity, increased fatigue, sleep problems, insomnia, anxiety. Depression doesn't cause anxiety, however, they're related. Irritability in general. Changes in appetite, weight, uncontrollable emotions, suicidal tendencies, self-harm, isolating, shutting down. Can you go back to the other slide, the first one? Yeah. Irritability in general. How many of you feel this sometimes? Let's be honest. Okay, here's a question. How many of you were really bummed out in the last 2 years? It sucked. Let's be honest. It's like all of a sudden, it's like I'm allowed to go outside and everything was fine. And then all of a sudden, they go, hey, you need to put one of these things on. So we're all like this. That's hard. Because you can't see people's faces. You don't know what they're doing. As far as you know, they could be doing like this all the time. I don't know. But it's hard, right? How do how do you relate? And then it doesn't matter where you go. It's like, put this on. Like, hand sanitize your hands. like, how many of you got, like, really, like, the skin was cracking and things like that? Like, that happens. And that's tough, isn't it? Because all of a sudden, your life is controlled by something else, and you're like, man, is this ever going to stop? All I just want to do is go hang out with my friends. You know, all I just want to do is go and have some pizza. Well, I would have pizza. I don't know. Maybe you guys might have vegetarian. I don't know. Whatever. I don't. But that's the point, right? It's hard. Keep going, Joe. So anxiety, let's just skip the anxiety part because I can, depression can happen to anyone. Depression causes a variety of serious of symptoms and can affect anyone at any time. No matter who you are, what you look like, or where you live, people young and old can be depressed. People of every race, gender, ethnic heritage, and religion can be depressed. Even the rich, famous, or successful can go through depression. Basically, all I just want to write this word. I mean, excuse my language. I mean, my language. Alone. You're not alone. I know that's what you feel. I mean, I know that's what you may think. You may as well, like, I am the only person on the face of the earth who feels this way. You're not. Anyone can go through depression. Anyone. So you can breathe. It's okay. You understand, there's a lot of people who feel the exact same way. And again, there's discomfort in that, for sure, because sometimes, you know, you feel that everyone's over here, over there, and you're over here, and you wonder, how can I bridge the gap? And those are okay feelings to have. There's a piece in the Bible. Psalm 6, written by a person who was struggling. And they write these words. Psalm chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. It says, I am worn out from sobbing. All night I flood my bed with weeping, drenching it with my tears. My vision is blurred by grief. My eyes are worn out because of all my enemies. That's right in the Bible. How many of you have felt that way? I'm pretty much sure that most of us at some point have felt that way. That life sucks. Did you grab your pillow when you're screaming at it? I don't know, maybe you grab your teddy bear? I don't know. Point is, though, is that it's hard. So it's okay to feel that. It's okay to be emotional about it. So here's a cycle I came up with when speaking to people and also in my own life. Sometimes you have trauma. Sometimes trauma is, it could be words, it could be actions, it could be an experience, but it has deeply affected you. And then there's negative thoughts that take over. And then you have a way or feel a need to escape. So that can either be not dealing with it or doing something else. Or whatever. But either way, that's normally what happens. That's how depression generally sets in. Something happens, then it gets in your mind, rattles around, and then it's like, oh, I can't deal with this, or whatever, or I'm just going to go do something. For instance, you know, maybe you're in gym class, you know, you miss a basketball shot, or hockey, or maybe you dance, or maybe in martial arts class or something, so it goes, well, that was really awful. And then, you know, and then all of a sudden you go like, wow, I'm awful. And then it's like, wow, I don't know how to deal with this, and then you go in the opposite direction. So that's just a simple, illustration. So this kind of happened when I was younger. I am not an artist by any stretch of the imagination. So I took art class. Because, I mean, I heard it was an easy credit. Not like any of you would do that. So I took art, and so I drew this soccer player. I'm from England, so I play soccer. I love playing soccer. So I drew this guy with a soccer ball, and I'm thinking, hey, this is pretty good. So I handed it in to my art teacher, and he looked at it, and And generally when teachers are silent, it's either it's really good or it's really awful. I mean, just kind of giving you a heads up. And then, so he looks at my drawing and he goes, huh. And I'm like, uh-oh. And then he goes, James, I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm like, okay, good. I'm like, yes. 8 out of 10 on my first one. He goes, that's the worst drawing I've ever seen in my entire life. Wow, thank you. Aren't you supposed to help people? I feel awesome. But anyway, I mean, I shrugged it off in time, but he says, I'm going to help you learn how to draw. But sometimes those experiences do affect us, right? Some words, some actions, even if the person doesn't mean it, we take it to heart. Trauma is a response to a deeply distressing or disturbing event that overwhelms an individual's ability to cope, causes feelings of helplessness, diminishes their sense of self, and their ability to feel the full range of emotions and experiences. So yeah, it's tough. It's hard. That's how trauma impacts us. So here's a whole bunch of images. Have you ever heard the saying that, you know, we're supposed to make eye contact? Mm-hmm. Like when you talk to people? Mm-hmm. I mean, and supposedly, you know, you can tell how a person is feeling with the eyes and things like that, or how you watch them. So here's a whole bunch of, you know, here's a whole bunch of images. Yeah. So it is what you do not see that is the real issue. So when it comes to depression, sometimes we have a whole bunch of symptoms, sometimes we have a whole bunch of, you know, ways of how people are acting. But it is never the symptom that is the issue. It's what is going on inside. So let me say it again. It is never the symptom that is the issue. Person gets angry, person gets mad, person says something. It's not necessarily that. What's going on? It is something deeper. Remember this image? That. It's like that. There's always something more which is going on. It's deeper. It's what we don't see. And that's the same thing as with depression. I mean, we can focus on the actions, we can focus on what they're doing, but what we really need to talk about is what is going on inside. What's making us feel certain ways? How come we react in a certain way? So here's a negative thought cycle. You know, maybe we think that we're worthless. Then we have the attitude of I don't care. Then we think that maybe no one cares. So like, I mean, you have, first of all, loss of self, loss of passion, and loss of community. Like, and then we isolate, we think that we're alone, you know, and sometimes we think that there's no way out. I mean, so I don't know if you've ever felt this way, but talking with people, this is generally how it is, right? It's hard. Life sometimes is hard. Keep going. Let's get that part. Kids and youth, they just want the pain to stop. Just one thing that I want. I just want the pain to stop. I mean, when you go through difficult times, I mean, and how you respond and how you react, but at the end of the day, we just want things to go back to what we call normal. Like, I don't know how many times through the pandemic, I was like, man, I just want to hang out with people. I just want to have that connection, right? You know, I just want to go and do things. I mean, I'm involved in martial arts. I'm a first degree black belt in Taekwondo. I'm booking my second degree, at the end of the month. But man, I couldn't even go to Taekwondo class. So I didn't even have an outlook, you know, and an outlet in some cases where I could do things, and sometimes we feel trapped. So here's a need to escape as well. Pain, self-harm, and then release. You know, we want it to stop. So how do people self-harm? So talk to me. what do you guys think about this subject? Okay.
It just means causing yourself pain, kind of thing, like hurting yourself physically or mentally.
Yeah, there's some of that which happens, absolutely. So this way, don't eat, don't drink, cutting, burning, waste much, waking on a whale is punching or hitting themselves, substance abuse, poisoning themselves, excessive exercising, fuel seeking, binge eating, wearing little clothes, or more depending on the weather. Actually, let's skip this part. So questions, comments, discussion? Yes, no? You can disagree with me, it's okay. I mean, it's fine.
James.
Yes.
Do the amount of, like, I guess, do you call them, like, cases of depression? Like, go, like, get higher in COVID?
Yes. Yeah, let me give you a stat. I mean, 60% it rose during COVID time. Some would even say that this is a figure, 200%. Because people's stress level, you know, just went through the roof. And that's hard, and I understand that, and I get it. It is, it hasn't been easy for the last 2 years, and then some. It seems that, you know, restrictions get lifted, and then it's like, yes, then it's, we go out and then it's like boom, then it's back again. So I wanted to be open, I wanted to be honest with you guys and recognize that, yeah, I mean, it's okay to feel the way that you're feeling. I get that. It's okay. Okay. So I want to move on to some other pieces. Are there any more questions before I do? And you know, is there anything else that you know that you need from me? Anything that's kind of percolating in your mind? Okay. Then let's move. So what do I do if I struggle with depression? Oh, I should probably introduce someone. This is my beautiful assistant, Julie. She's my wife. So I don't know that. Good. So, what do I do? If you struggle with, you know, depression, tell someone you trust. Tell someone you trust. I'll repeat that again. Tell someone you trust. Very important that you find someone who can, you know, who can help you. Go for a walk. Go outside. Listen to music. Journal your journey. Come up with a safety plan.
What is a safety plan?
Safety plan is that when things get hard, what are you going to do? When you feel down, when life is becoming too much, you need options. So you can write it down on a piece of paper, you can have it in your journal, you can have it in a card in your pocket, and then you go, life is becoming difficult, so what are my options? When the guys leave rock solid, I have what is called an access plan. And I think that we'll be focusing on that later. But I move them through that, so we'll help them as they learn the techniques of rock solid as they move on. So have a support network, watch a movie, TV, streaming service, limit cell phone usage, see a counselor, start a gratitude list. So let me briefly touch on this. Like, you mean, I know lots of us have cell phones and stuff like that. I get it. And I'm not going to spend a whole bunch of time, you know, because how technology affects us. But limit it. Like, try not spend a lot of time on it as much as you possibly can. I know we all want to be connected. I understand that. I mean, I get it. But it would be good at, like, bedtime, just a suggestion. that, you know, that when you hand your phone to your mom or dad or whoever, put it in your drawer and just go to sleep. That's what I would just simply recommend. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I get it. I know. Most of you are like, no, I can't live without it. Just trying to help you out. I'm just trying to say that I'm just, you know, just put it to bed, okay? Because it will help you. It will. I know you want to see, you know, you took a picture, you want to see the likes, and I understand that you want to buy them, because I guess in some cases, like, I mean, of course, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, like, generally when I get to bed, I'm that tired, so, you know, but that's just me. But I'm just trying to say the limit of that. Start a gratitude list. Kind of important. Like, I mean, to remind you of the things that you are extremely thankful for. So what are the things, like for instance, if you were going to start a gratitude list, what are some cool things? What are things that you're, you know, thankful for?
The Bible and or the Word of God.
Bible, Word of God, what else? Yes.
My family.
Family, yes. Okay.
Friends.
Friends. Okay. Family, friends, Bible, what about, yes.
Life.
Yeah. Air. Breathing. You know, church family. All those pieces. Because when it gets hard, right, and you pull that out, and you go, wow, you know, there are some things where, you know, which I'm extremely thankful for. Because it helps. It changes how you think. It changes how you respond to people, how you react to people. I mean, it is very important that you have something like this in your possession. And when I mean a journal, I mean, you can write a few words in it each day, or you can write paragraphs, or you can write something which is meaningful for you. I don't know, maybe you and Kelly had a good talk. I don't know, maybe you're into Marvel, I don't know, maybe you're into sewing, or food, or something like that, right? I mean, have something which you as an individual are truly, truly thankful for, and even in your journey, like, wow, you know, today sucked. And you know what the next day, I don't know, maybe you say, hey, you know, I mean, I watched, I don't know, like a show, and this really affected me. So have those pieces in your life so you can always look back. So then you can see your journey and how much you've grown and how much you have learned. How can I help individuals who struggle with depression? I mean, maybe it's not something that you struggle with, but you've got friends who struggle with it. So listen and do not lecture. I mean, please. I mean, I'm sure you know this, but don't just say, please get over it, everything's going to be okay. And like, I know we're well-meaning, we are. But we want to be well-meaning, we do. But like, let them talk and listen. Be personal, have presence if you possibly can. Yes?
Sorry to interrupt. Okay. I just, back to your other list, what can we do?
Yeah, go
One
ahead.
Thing for me, I just being a Christian,
yeah.
Sometimes I'm just like, Jesus, I need help. And like, you know, in that moment, like, he's always there. He's always hearing us. And he's always present.
Yes, absolutely.
And he totally wants to be part of our life, right?
So yes.
I think it's so simple. We overlook those things. Yes. That, yeah, I'm going to take this opportunity to say, hey, Jesus.
Thank you. I purposely left that off.
Oh, I'm
sorry. No, it's fine. No, it's good. It's good. Because I was hoping someone would say, God, you know, the guy who created the universe, you know, the guy who knit us together in the womb. But no, thank you. I'm glad that you mentioned it. I was going to mention that, but thank you. That's happening. Yeah. I mean, the guy upstairs. Kind of important. Yes.
I would mention too, something that wasn't on the list was just going to a doctor.
Absolutely.
And actually getting a physical done and going through their checklist on whether or not you need to maybe go on depression meds, or you'll also be given a lot of tools to be the health resources that are available in your area.
Yeah, you know, absolutely, doctor or counselor, right? Someone who can give you those resources and help you through. Ask open-ended questions. So, what's the difference between what is an open-ended question? Do you guys know what that is?
Closed-ended is just like yes or no. Open-ended, you have to give like an explanation.
Yes. Good. Ask open-ended question. For instance, how has Youthquake been so far?
Amazing.
Okay. So here's the thing. Tell me about Youthquake. See? So that's open-ended questions, right? Because I know how it is. Like I understand, you know, I used to be a teenager when dinosaurs roamed the earth. I also have three girls. So, you know, so I get it, right? I mean, asking open-ended questions is very important because, you know, they're not talking to me. So just say, tell me about your day. You know, or what were the highlights of your day? So those type of pieces. You know, this will be a journey. There is no quick fix. I wish I could give you, like, you follow these five things and then you will never be depressed again. Wrong answer. It's a journey. Okay, it's a journey. So if you want to help someone, then you'll be involved in that journey. And also number five, very important, seek help if you need. If you get over, you know, if things are becoming overwhelming for you, seek help. Go talk to someone. You go, hey, I have a friend who's struggling. I have a friend who's hurting. I have a friend who's, you know, who I think who might be self-harming in some way, shape, or form. Tell someone. Do not have that burden on you. Okay, I know you may be well-meaning, absolutely, and I understand that. I am not denying. I believe that people are well-intentioned for the most part, absolutely. But here's the point. Do not take it all on yourself. Get help. Seek help. Talk to your pastor, your youth sponsor, your youth leader, your guidance counselor, school, someone who you trust who can help you move this forward. And watch for burnout. You can watch for that. You can only do so much. Okay? You can only do so much. Pull in help, bring in the cavalry, and do those type of things. Take care of yourself. In other words, helping some people is great, but you've got to have your own time. You need to be able to do that. Exercise every day and remind that there is hope, that tomorrow will be better than today. Even if it's only this much. Tomorrow will be better than today. So as you journey, as you walk with people, right? Communicate that you care, that you love, that they matter, and again, that there is hope. This is a picture of, you know, at Rockstar Refuge. I mean, that's from, again, we're out in the middle of nowhere, so, I mean, you can, if your dog runs away, you can still say 3 days later. I'm sure you've heard that before. Like, I mean, it's just, we are. And so that is a, you know, that's a sunset. Like, I mean, in that way, that as day goes down, tomorrow is coming. That there's hope. Because sometimes in depression, we don't feel that way. Right? We don't. But you can provide that for, you know, for someone else. So what? So engage, you recognize, and you can communicate. So here's a very interesting thing. While connection may not be our top need for immediate physical survival, our Creator has formed us in such a way that there is nothing more crucial to our long-term welfare. In fact, virtually every action we humans take is part of a deeper attempt to connect with other humans, even when it terrifies. So we need connection. Everyone needs connection. Everyone needs to feel, you know, that they're a part of something. And you guys know that. I mean, very, very interesting that as I'm, So, like, people need connection. Like, I mean, I don't know, like, I'm sort of like an introvert type of person. So, I was at Youthquake last weekend, and I was at Youthquake this weekend, and it's very, very interesting that all of a sudden when it says everyone goes to the front, you know, and everyone's just like right with everyone. I mean, it's just the way it is. It's just people gravitate. I mean, it doesn't matter where you're from or necessarily what you do, but like when You know, when OJ the DJ starts out these beats and everyone just comes to the front and they're doing the wave thing, and it's like everyone's together. It's like automatically an instant connection. That's putting you, you know, because you're designed that way. You are designed to connect. You are designed not to be alone. I mean, that's how God made you, you know, humanity. And even in the worship time, like it's like that. I mean, this is like my 14th youth quake, and it's the same thing. It's just crazy how everyone just comes together. I mean, for instance, you don't know if they're wearing deodorant or brush their teeth or had a shower that day, but it doesn't matter. What matters is they go together, right? I mean, and you guys participated in the game, right? Everyone's screaming green, red, and blue, and you didn't know anyone. I mean, you came yesterday, you all landed here, and it's like, we're just going to team, and it's, but that's connection. People need that. They thrive for connection. Even introverts. Like, even introverts during the pandemic were going like, I can't take this. And I don't know how you extroverts survive. I mean, hard. I mean, but that's the point. We need to be connected. We need intimacy. Now, I know the old word, intimacy, has changed. I get that. I understand how we believe it's physical. But it's so much more than that. It is every part of your being. It's biological, it's psychological, it's sociological, and it's spiritual. Intimacy is not just one piece. It is all those four together. You crave that. Let me ask you a question. If you had an option to be real with someone, to tell them how you really, really felt, and you could have that connection with them, I mean, you could be honest with them, would you want that? Let's be honest. Would you want that? I think we would. But that's intimacy. Well, James, like nobody does that. Well, that might be a problem. We want that. We want that. I mean, your youth pastors, your youth sponsors, they want that for you, right? They desire that for you. I mean, they desire to see you grow. They desire to see you learn. They desire to see you, like, explode for Jesus. Absolutely. They want that. They crave that for you. I see. People need to know that they're valuable. That they matter. That you who are here matter with your gifts and abilities, that you have purpose, that you have vision, that you have an idea to move forward and do those things. Do you feel valuable? Because God's word says that you are. God's word says that He created you, or as I describe it, that He painted you with every fiber of your being. I'm sure you've heard this before. Like, you are unique. I get it. And you're like, yeah, well, if I'm unique, then how come I'm such a mess? And yeah, I know. But even in that mess, God still created you, and you can move forward. And there is hope, and there is life, even though you may not, even though you may not feel it right there at the moment. Like, God loves you, and He's made you for you so that you can do the things that only you can do. You are valuable. You are meant for connection, and you are meant to have intimacy. And sometimes when depression hits us, like it's a mat drop, it's like these three things get blown out of proportion. So let's stop it. Yes, no, I'm off my rocker. I think we believe this. But I also think that sometimes it feels so dark that we choose not to believe this. Because it's all about relationship. Life is all about relationship, let's be honest, it is. It is. It's about us connecting with other people and hanging out with other people. And I know sometimes family's tough. I get it, it's hard. But like when your family's in your corner, your youth pastor, your youth sponsors, your youth leaders, know, they are rooting for you, and it's all about relationship. Like, you mean, Jesus, you know, the guy, you know, who gave his life for us, like, he had 12 disciples, then he had 3, and then he had 1. It's all about relationship. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, like, you know, triunity, all together, relationship. The whole Bible screams about relationships, and sometimes relationships are messy, let's be honest, but that's okay. But it is about relationship. Let's skip this part. So start by doing what's necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly you are doing the impossible. By a monk who lived a long time ago, Francis of Assisi, he founded the Franciscans, and I think these are like incredibly valuable words. I think they are. Because you may kind of like think like, man, it's hard, it's tough, I just don't want to get out of bed today, like, you know, I'd rather sleep in, you know, like, I mean, I've got to go see so-and-so or whatever, and it's just like you're in that mud. But start by doing what's necessary. Get up. Then do what's possible. Go have a shower, go have breakfast, and suddenly you are doing the impossible. Go to school, enter into those spaces. And realize that God can move you and will move you, and God will help you. I'm not going to spend a massive amount of, amount of time, on this, but I get it that it's hard, that it's difficult. Sometimes you may think, like, James, you're asking me, to help people, well, I can't even get out of bed. And I understand that. But you can. I came from a family which was drowned in alcohol. From an addictive family. My mom and my dad, my mom had mental illness. My dad, both of them were alcoholics. I get it. It's hard. So sometimes home is tough. Sometimes relationships is tough. My mom took her life. She died in front of me. And my dad drank himself to death. He did. That hurt. It was hard. Believe me, it was hard. And you guys are going through some difficult stuff. And I'm saying, wow, look at me and things up. But what I'm saying is this, and I didn't have God to pull me through. It was difficult. Every day was like, I just don't think I can make it. Came to Canada, got involved in a youth group. Love to tell you that my reasons for being involved in youth group were like really good. It was because of girls. To be honest, don't want to lie to you, but that's just what I got involved in. It was a whole bunch of girls. I'm from England. Like, I didn't know anyone. I figured, well, the accent only gets you so far. So I went to youth group, and I found that the youth group people were actually kind of cool. Then I listened one day, and I'm going, huh, maybe Jesus. Maybe. And he gave a life to him. Hasn't been easy. Some days it's been hard. But here's the point, like, you can make it. You can. Some days, you'll feel that sucks. I just like dig a hole and put a rock over. I get it. But you can get through it with help. Turn to people. Ask people. Lean on your youth pastor, youth sponsors, youth leaders. If you're a youth pastor, youth sponsor, youth leader. So I'm not trying to make your life harder. I'm just simply saying, is it help? So I'm done. I'm going to shut up. Any questions? Anything off my rocker? Yes.
I think I just wanted to add the comment, something I hear a lot with the youth that I work with and then my own children who struggled with depression and anxiety is just some language to use around that, I guess. It can be incredibly hurtful, and it's very typical for all of us to just say, oh, I'm feeling so depressed today, or oh, I totally had a panic attack, or whatever. But people who are actually like really dealing with depression and really dealing with anxiety and panic attacks,
that is a very isolating statement to just kind of make a joke about it and just say, oh yeah, I'm so depressed, because they can see that you can bounce back so quickly, and it's really hard for them to realize, like, oh, okay, they can just bounce back from a problem, but I actually have, like, really struggle with this. So this is something a little bit more to be mindful of with your friends who might be struggling.
Absolutely. Thank you. That's why I love this. You guys have wisdom, for sure. Yes?
If you suspect someone is really struggling and have it quite open up to you or something, would you, I mean, it's important to know how someone trusts, but how would you recommend approaching that to someone if you really genuinely care about them and want to know how they're doing?
Well, I mean, take them out for a meal, go to McDonald's, go to, I don't know, go to, you know, all-you-can-eat buffet, those type of things, right? I mean, take them out of the situation into a neutral situation, right? And then spend time with them and say, hey, you know, how's your day? I don't know. And, like, I mean, those type of things. Use open-ended questions. Like, I mean, if you suspect, like, be what I say is reflective. So, like in a mirror, like how you see them. So ask a question. Go, I noticed the other day that that you seemed a little down. I mean, those type of questions, right? I mean, you know, I noticed, or your community is like, man, you just got out of the pandemic. How hard that was, because I know it was hard for everyone. I mean, include them in that good conversation and march them forward, right? I mean, be careful, absolutely. Because, I mean, this is a tough subject. I mean, it is not easy, and I get that, right? So, I mean, you use those type of things. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe you can go to, maybe you can play video games with them, a youth group or something like that. I mean, those type of things. You know, create an experience for them where they will feel safe. Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question? Yeah.
I think if you actually know this, though, like, if you are showing genuine concern and care for someone, like, don't be afraid to ask.
Absolutely.
Don't be afraid to, like, show interest in their life. And one thing, too, I do, like, I ask Holy Spirit, because I know He's giving me that gift, but, like, just to pray for those people, right? Like, take those opportunities. People just need some force to have, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's true, right? I mean, yeah.
How do you ask for help?
How do you ask for help? Well, I mean, you have youth sponsor, youth leader, youth pastor, parents, guidance counselor. I mean, go to those individual and say, listen, I'm struggling with, what I think is depression, or a friend is struggling with depression. I mean, go and ask them, approach them, find someone. Those type of resources are available. There's even kids help line, right? Those type of things. If you're in a pinch and you're like, I don't know how to, reach out, like, talk to someone. Even someone who's maybe a children pastor or something like that. Someone in your church who you feel safe with, right? Speak with them. I mean, if you don't have that, then there's my email. I mean, and I can try and connect you or anyone with someone. I might know someone, I might not. But the point is it use those resources that you need. Yes.
I think also it's really important to keep your eyes open for those who may be reaching out that you may not expect to.
Yeah.
That when someone is asking you, how was your day? You go, fine. Well, no, no. Like, what did you do today?
Yeah.
To take those opportunities to test the waters with that person.
Yeah.
And then you can find whether they're safe or not. And it may be somebody you never expect, or even somebody you just met.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Just
right?
To have your eyes
yeah.
open to those opportunities that God may be giving you.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
Yeah, I would say just to piggyback off your question about how to ask for help. Sometimes actually saying the words out loud is really intimidating for some people. So it's helpful even just to write that down on a piece of paper. And if you're going to a guidance counselor or a pastor or even your parent, it depends on how your relationship is with your parent, you can give them that letter that says, like, help me, I need help. Because sometimes it is just too overwhelming to say those words out loud. So the most important thing is just to advocate for yourself and to realize, like, that you can have a desire to basically you're fighting for yourself. So don't stop that, even if you're afraid to say those words out loud. Find a way.
Yeah. Yeah, find someone. Yes.
How do you break out of that shell, like self-harming or talking down on yourself?
Yeah, that's a loaded question. Well, like, start a gratitude list. Start a gratitude list. Change your thinking. Even if it's one thing. And then one thing can lead to other things. It's sort of like an avalanche, right? Start to believe that tomorrow will be better than today. One thing you can do is that, I know someone, they've got quotes, and they write down all these quotes, and they paper their whole entire wall with them. So that when they get up, and the first thing they see in the morning is that you are beautiful, you are loved, God made you, there's hope. I've seen that room, it's crazy, and it's like, yes. Go. So that's the first thing you see when you get up in the morning. I use the Francis of Assisi quote, plaster that. So the first thing that you see in the morning is, it's not the lie, but you see the truth.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
I can add on to that. Especially if you're in a situation of self-harm, that's something that is like, that you need help. For that. That's not a you can rescue yourself up. And as a believer in Christ, Jesus asks us to bring what is hidden in the darkness out into the light. And so that's actually just taking a step of obedience as a believer to say, okay, this is something that is as Paul talks about, the things I don't want to do, I end up doing, even though I know I should be doing something else. This is where we can bring those things that are holding us in bondage into the light. And then bringing along our brothers and sisters in Christ to pray us through that. Mm-hmm. Having accountability. Bringing our lives before the body of Christ to say, look, I'm struggling in prayer. So these are all things that are just part of discipleship. But it takes a break for a step forward, for sure. And you can reach out and ask somebody to even go with you to talk to adults about that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Well, we're almost out of time. Let me pray for you folks as you go forward. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your day, this day, your love, your grace, your mercy. And Father, we know that some of the stuff we've talked about today has been hard. And we get that. But we know that in the midst of it being hard, you are there. In the midst of our struggles, of our day, even when we feel down, even when we feel sad, that you can give us the strength, you can give us, the answers. And so, Father, I just pray for everyone who's in the room today, that they may find you, Lord. But you may give them encouragement, give them strength, give them hope, help them to understand that, the connection, that intimacy, and that they are extremely valuable because you have made them and that you love them so much. So we just thank you for everyone who came today, May there was something which would impact them and they could take to their friends and, or maybe with them who struggle, maybe they light a fire in their youth groups and can talk with other individuals. And Father, I want to say thank you for everything you've said and everything you've done. And Father, may we serve you with everything that we have today. For us, these things in Christ's mighty name. Amen. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.